Hello and welcome to another week of Sage Reverie. Today we're going to talk about how do we balance our work and rest habits. Let's dive into it. Welcome to Sage Reverie, a podcast where we seek to live well and live wisely. I'm Mike Wilson.
And I'm Wes Smith.
We live in the great state of Wyoming, and each week from a biblical perspective, we discuss a trending topic and what others are saying about it. If you're using these episodes for your group, there are discussion questions in the description. And for more information about our ministry, visit church307.com. So it is the first day of fall.
First day, okay.
Yeah, so the snow's coming.
Yeah, right.
I'm a little bit weird. I look forward to this time of year. I love it. I love when it starts getting cold. Mm-hmm. We got to get inside more often. Mm-hmm. And I prefer shoveling snow to mowing grass. Like, I love winter. I'm ready for winter by this time of year. Every year, I'm sick of hot, ready for the cold. But in Wyoming, if you're watching this from Wyoming, you know that preparing for winter is a little bit more of a task than it is when I lived in Oklahoma. So in Wyoming, to prepare for winter, you gotta, well, you get the snow shovels out and the salt, and you move all that back to the like ready position in the garage. You gotta blow out the sprinklers. You gotta winterize the stuff. Some people put like the heaters in the cars, and I don't even know what you gotta take.
Yeah, get feed hoses your off. Animals.
Well, I don't do that, yeah, but your animals. I'm a smart person, so I've chosen not to invest in that. Take the sprinklers off all the winterizing things.
Yes, winterizing things.
It's a big undertaking.
Yeah,
and so it reminds me of when I read in scripture the idea of the Sabbath. And that they would have to prepare for the 6 days, because on the seventh day, they couldn't do all that work that needs to be done, making the food and whatever farming they needed to do, or taking care of animals, or all those things needed to be done in 6 days so that on the seventh day, they could rest.
Rest.
And I like winter because it forces me into a rest season. Mm-hmm. Same kind of idea. Mm-hmm. And when I think about winter, this is actually what I think about.
In Alabama football, that's a gain of 11.
So you're sitting in your recliner.
Sitting in my recliner.
Watching the Broncos.
No, well, that you just ruined it.
Oh,
just killed the moment.
Here we go.
I had chills there
again.
For a moment.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about the Chiefs.
Thinking about that Chiefs game that was going on above. So my TV hangs above
the fire. The
fireplace.
Okay, nice. Nice.
I get a fire going and a Chiefs game going.
Oh, man.
Sit in my recliner.
Yeah.
There is nothing in this world that is more restful.
Right. Right.
Until the Chiefs are losing.
Yeah, right.
There's very little rest happening.
Right.
But if they're winning, man, that's real rest.
You get the right snacks. What snacks do you do?
Oh, man. We're a popcorn family.
Popcorn, yeah.
Because you can eat a lot of it without it being too many calories.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Just covered in butter.
Covered in butter, yeah. Yeah.
What does it look like when you picture rest? What are you picturing?
Yeah, Sunday afternoon, you know, back when I was a pastor, especially, your Sunday mornings are intense, right? Yep. So Sunday afternoon with football game and the right snack and the right chair is one of the ways I picture rest. I also, for me, I picture rest. It's more active. I think recreation is actually a better form of rest. And so we can talk about that later. But for me, it's active. I might be out in the field training my dog, or I may be on horseback somewhere, or on a hunting situation in the mountains. That for me is a little more rest.
Yep.
But Sunday afternoon with the football game, nobody hates that, I don't think. So, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more about Sabbath.
Okay.
The idea of the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And different people talk about this differently. I know that my generation and younger right now is real big on the idea of Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Like, it's everywhere. Every young pastor I know is preaching about Sabbath every other week.
Yeah,
because I think some of it is they've seen the health of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for others, it is a little bit of an excuse to work less. I don't know. Maybe not. So I always say that the Sabbath law was work 6 days and rest the seventh day. We like to ignore the work 6 days part of it and just focus on some people just want to focus on the seventh day of rest without doing the 6 days of work.
Right.
Other people just want to blow through the seventh day and just do the work all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's so helpful that scripture gives us a balance. Mm-hmm. Actually, it gives us a ratio, mm-hmm. 6 to 1, mm-hmm. 6 to 1. Mm-hmm. And so I know you like to put ratios on things, 70, yep. 30, talking yep. and listening yep. Yep. and that type of thing. Scripture yep. gives us a balance. What yes. should it look like?
Yes.
Let's estimate. Now, the question then becomes, how legalistic should we be about
right.
it?
Right.
How much should I feel guilty if I don't take a Sabbath mm-hmm. each week? And mm-hmm. and how much of a command is that for us today? Or is that an old covenant thing? Mm-hmm. It don't even apply to us. Do you fall one way or the another?
Yeah, you know, I clearly Paul says you can't be legalistic about this anymore, yeah. right? So it's not, and they were being legalistic, not just about taking the day, but what you did in the day and all that stuff, right? Yeah. I think it is something best understood to be a principle.
Yeah.
I think not honoring a principle is absolutely a wrong choice.
Yeah. Harmful.
But being legalistic about how you do the Sabbath and when and all those kind of things, we have to be very careful about as pastors and how yeah. how we mandate that. I think so many of your generation and younger, as you said, are taking it seriously.
Yep.
I'm concerned that we don't go back again to say, by taking it seriously, it means this exactly. I'm yeah. concerned about that. But I think it's been healthy overall that anytime you take something in the Bible more seriously, it's going to be best for right. people, right? So yeah. very pleased with that. I think one of the things I'm seeing a lot of secular companies
yes.
now do it.
Yep.
And you can do that, right? You can take scripture, you can take God out, still do the action yep. and get benefit from yep. it, right? Get short-term benefit. It does feel good.
Yeah. And it's like meditating.
Yeah, meditation would be another great example. Fasting. I'm hearing a lot about fasting now, right? Everybody's, yep. it's all big deal. The 12-hour every night fast yep. and more that you should do, you know. So a lot of things God asked us to do were good for us. All of it was good for us. Yep. But when you take God out, it diminishes it in such a way. So
missing part of it.
Yeah. When worship and reverence and all this, you can't really have Sabbath unless you give your worries and your stuff to God. So real rest. They can't get real rest by just taking a day off.
Yeah. Right?
And so it's more than that. But I love the trend. I love the trend. More power to them. Anytime we get closer to God's
yeah.
blueprint, we're doing better.
And Jesus says that the Sabbath was created for man,
yeah.
not man for the Sabbath.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's not our master.
We're not doing this to get God to love us,
yes.
to get God to approve of this. Right. We're doing it because we're receiving a gift from God. He yeah. gave us the gift of the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And when we turn it into some way of impressing others or earning God's love,
right.
then we've become legalistic about something that was actually meant to be
yeah.
for our benefit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, we think of the Sabbath not as a law, mm-hmm. not as something that is mm-hmm. required of us, mm-hmm. but as something that if we are wise, we trust the one who created mm-hmm. us, mm-hmm. who made our bodies, who recognizes the value of resting our bodies and resting our minds and resting mm-hmm. our souls so that we can then do the things that God created us to do. Mm-hmm. And if we just ignore his advice,
yeah.
how ignorant is
yeah.
that?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
It's like somebody who would buy a new toy and not read the instructions about how to use it. You should trust the creators of it that yeah. they knew the best way to use it. They knew
the best way to use this yeah. system. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And you know what, too? I think part of Sabbath became this. It means that you get up in the morning, you read the paper, you go to church, you don't do this, you don't do this and all this. And so much of that had health as part of it, like honoring God, worshiping God and your Sabbath is a really key part and doing some of these things. But we got into this, what Sabbath was and wasn't, and it became about something it wasn't supposed to be about
right.
from the beginning, right? And so we just need to be careful in adding to scripture
yep.
all the way along. But boy, this concept, our culture today, it's just, it's schizophrenic, right? about work and rest and all this other stuff and play, then play turns into status and status. We mess everything up that God intended for good. We've talked about this when it comes to our kids' sports, and we've talked about all the things that we take these gifts that God gives and then we turn it into something that we kind of want to manipulate, right? Well, that's not the true Sabbath, right? That's the Sabbath. We can do that. So what do you do as a Sabbath? I'd be curious to know, Mike, what's a Sabbath look like for you? What's a day?
Yeah.
Say it was a day. It wouldn't have to be a day, but what if it was a day? What would it look like for you? What's a
Sabbath for me is my Saturday. So
Sabbath
is Saturday is the Jewish day of rest. Mm-hmm. We've kind of moved it towards Sunday because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. That kind of became what people talked about as Sabbath, and we worship God on Sundays.
Right. But it was a Saturday thing.
But it was a Saturday. For me, it's a Saturday thing because I can't rest on Sundays.
Right. Right. It's a big day.
Yeah. Sundays are the hardest day of the week for me by far.
Yeah.
Actually, the easiest day of the week is probably Monday because
Sunday's done.
Sunday's done. But I work hard on Fridays to get the chores done, to get the errands run, to get things in order so that Saturday can actually be a restful day. Mm-hmm. And so for us, it's a lot of play with the boys, hanging out in the living room for a lot of hours, especially in the winter. And in the summer, we're out more with activities. Mm-hmm. I feel the temptation you're talking about with youth sports.
Yeah.
My kid is in soccer. Mm-hmm. He's doing really good at soccer. Mm-hmm. The prideful side of me wells up and wants to elevate that to a position that it does not deserve, and rather allowing it to be a restful, fun way that we Sabbath together as a family. Mm-hmm. We can elevate it and make it too much of a stressor rather than a stress reliever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I try on Saturdays to fill my life with as much stress relief as possible. And for me, Sabbathing is so much about trust. I need to lean back into trust on Sabbath because for so much of my stress comes from what do I need to accomplish? What do I need to do well? How do I need to impress people or accomplish things or achieve goals? And Saturday becomes a day where I say, God, I'm not going to get it all done. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop working and trust that you're doing what I can't do and rely on him more rather than my own strength. Mm-hmm. And so as much as anything, it becomes a prayerful process of relieving the stress, releasing the stress to God.
Yeah. I say it this way for people trying to understand what God meant with the Sabbath. I think for 6 days, you be an adult. Mm. For the seventh, you be a child.
That's good.
You just got to think of it in those terms, you know, the responsibility, the stress, the ownership of outcomes, all that stuff. You hold that for 6 days. You ask God to help. You hold it. You run. Seventh day, you give it all to God and you just be a child. There's a story I tell about this disabled little girl who was playing T-ball, never really got a chance to play. But finally, you know, at the end of the game, the coach said, you can go up and try to hit the ball. She swings and swings and can't hit it. Finally, luckily hits the ball and is, you know, you remember if you ever played T-ball when you're just, you know, you're preschool, right? And nobody can catch it, anything. So she hits it. She's running through the bases. Everybody's throwing it around, you know, and she's between third and home and everybody's going crazy because this little girl who has challenges, right, is going to actually get like a home run. I'm going to tell her she got a home run. They're going nuts. Parents are screaming, grandparents, uncles, aunts, right? And then there's this little dog that walks by between third and home, and she sees the dog, and she, instead of running home, she runs and gets down on the ground and hugs the dog.
Oh, that's so good.
And the adults are going nuts, right? Like, oh no, leave the dog, go home. I tell the story partly for you.
Yeah, thanks.
But I also, it's a picture. She's a little girl.
Yeah.
And she didn't wake up that day needing to hit a home run.
Yeah.
She's gonna have fun and be a little girl. And I think Sabbath is simply, today I'm going to be a child.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I make radically irresponsible choices. But I talk to pastors about, hey, one day a week, I want you to eat some fat. Because in our culture, right, it's 6 days. I'm fit. We should be, right. I eat right. I exercise right. I do all this, and I work well. And I do. I what day of the week do you eat some fat?
Wow.
Eat some fat. Be a child. And I think that's the best way to understand whatever it is that means for you.
Yeah.
As long as it's not harmful and sinful or destructive in some way, you know, be a child.
I've heard you talk in the past about how we have maybe glorified exercise and the eating healthy to a place that it doesn't deserve. Like, it's good to do those things, but we don't want to glorify it to make it more important than it is.
Yeah. We longevity and the rest has become our God. And I am all about fitness and all about honoring our bodies. God gave us these amazing things that we honor. But if you take personal responsibility for living forever, that'll kill you too.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. That's good. Talk a little bit about how technology has impacted our ability to rest. And can I watch TV on the Sabbath or can I not? And that type of thing. I know one time you said that technology has not made our lives easier. It's just increased expectations.
Yeah. Yeah. Availability, right?
Yeah.
Constantly available. And I'm constantly engaged. And we want to be careful with this, because what technology is for you is different than me, is different than the next person. Like, so can you watch TV? Can you do this? I think go above that and go to principle and figure out those questions for yourself, right? And what it does. But I do worry about, you know, that I didn't really disengage because I get into places where you don't have service. And that's part of how I Sabbath, is you can't reach me, right? And my whole focus has to be on this horse I'm riding, or this dog that we're hunting with, or whatever else, but it's not on the rest. So I think that's naturally helpful. For others, I have friends for whom they have a box in their house, and for 24 hours a week, stuff has to be in a box and can't get out of that box. They have to have it be a literal box, right? Because there's in order to create rest, you have to create space, and to create space, you have to put boundaries on the things that get into your space.
Yeah.
So however you're going to do that. So for some people, TV is a restful kind of thing, but for others, it just is a space invasion, and they've got to deal with that. So, man, what do you do? Do you shut that off? How do you do that? Because, you know, it's kind of natural for me. I'm in a country, you know, live out.
Movies, no, movies for us are a Sabbath thing.
Yeah.
We watch movies on Sabbath. Phone, I have to disconnect from phone because that means work.
Yeah.
If my phone is within reach, I'm checking emails every 5 minutes.
Yep.
Somebody's texting me.
Yep.
There's always somebody dying in our church. So there's always a crisis that I have to be taking care of all the time.
Yep.
And the only tool I have is I put my phone on the charger and I need to not even know when somebody died. I need to not even know when something big happened because
you can't help but think about it and dig into it. And that's right.
So I have to turn it off.
Right.
And what you're describing, like with the box, is you have to have a plan to do that. Mm-hmm. You can't just be a spur of the moment. Yep. For most of us have requirements and things to take care of.
Yes.
And I need to get things in order. Yeah.
Like, you had to have somebody who would be available if somebody dies.
Right.
You can't just, doesn't matter. It's a Sabbath. Nobody's going to help you. No, you had to put a plan together for that.
Yep.
Right. And I think that's part of it, is taking it seriously enough to put a plan together, and then trusting God that the outcomes of who implements those plans and that'll be cared for and letting go. You can't be a child until you've prepared to be a child.
Yep.
That's well thought through.
And we have routines in all of life. So I talked about the routine of my year, and that I get certain things done in the summer so that I can do different things in the winter. Mm-hmm. We do that with our weeks, 6 days and then one day. Yeah. We also do that with our days.
Yeah.
And so my habit is I work this hour to this hour. When I get home, my phone goes on the charger so I can focus on my family. Mm-hmm. So like the Sabbath, when we just say it is simply 6 days and one day, just dumbs it down.
It's not that. Yeah.
We don't recognize the value of what this principle can actually bring to our entire lives and make us healthy in many
ways. As a ratio.
Ways. Yeah.
As a principle, as a ratio.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I don't do every day, every seven, right? My schedule is such that I'll have 14, 15 days in a row where it's all day, every day.
Yeah.
So, but then there needs to be a pattern where there's 2 or 3 days where God gets extra special time, where I recreate and rest and there's family and all that kind of thing. My wife's a nurse, ER nurse, right? So there's going to be, it's not going to be 1 out of 7. It's just going to be variable. And in our region, there's all kinds of that going on. Understand the principle. Understand the idea, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
Our denomination has taken this principle and applied it to pastors in the sabbatical idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have spent, I've been a lead pastor now for coming up on 7 years.
Okay.
I was pastors in not the lead pastor role for years before that. The thing that blindsided me so much is how much heavier the weight of being the lead pastor is than the other roles that I filled, because I was more able to disconnect. The stress was less, the worry was less.
Yep.
And, but now coming up on my 7th year of being in the lead pastor role, honestly, I've spent 6 years making fun of the sabbatical idea, like how lazy it seemed. Take a day off and then get back to work.
Right.
And I am feeling the need for it.
Yeah.
It's like the principle is playing out in my life.
Yeah.
In a way that is surprising me how much I'm realizing I need something that God's plan,
the
principle that he gave to us is not just playing out in my weeks or my days or in my years, but it's also playing out in the longer
Absolutely. Picture. We insist. We have measured sustainability for a lead pastor at length, and we've learned that if there's not a sabbatical every 7 years, that church that he or she leads and that person's life will be greatly hurt by that. Long term, it's so much. And you know this, and many of the folks who are listening to us know that God created the earth that way.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
It needs
a sabbatical year in essence. So, you know, it's just like you talked about at the beginning. It's a blueprint that God created.
Yeah,
it's a way we live. I think too. I do this thing called Masogi, where for me we got to remember rest is not just inactivity. For so many of us, we need to be taken out of our context and reminded that, the world doesn't start and stop based on the context of my 6-day week or my narrowly defined life. And it's okay to live in a narrowly defined life, like focusing on, you know, what God's given you responsibility for is great. But then there's got to be, I think, at some point this moment. So you get outside of your context. So in the Old Testament, there'd be these great festivals and feasts and everything shuts down and there's this out of life experience, right? And then you go back into your life. So for me, once a year, I do something. Those of us who typically call this term Masogi, it's way out of.
What are you saying?
Masogi.
Masogi.
Yeah, it's something way out of your comfort zone, way out of your normal life. Not something you naturally engage in, but it challenges you so enough so that the worries of your normal life kind of get put on the shelf for a minute.
Yeah.
So it's challenging, but it also exposes you radically different. So for me, it might be 3 years ago, I flew a bush plane into the Wrangell mountain range in Alaska, lived in a tent for several days, was chased out of camp by a large brown bear, did all this stuff that on glacier travel. in some ways it wasn't restful. And yet you find when you're done, it's like, but I was recreated.
Yeah.
And I do come back to my life
ready
to go. You and I just spent time in a city I had not ever been in that's radically different than I'm used to. And we're learning brand new things and being challenged every day by this. And so you come back, I come back to Wyoming where I love, but I come back enthused and I'm just changed. And I think annually for me, this process has to occur. It makes me better where I am. It makes me a better dad. It makes me a better husband. But I choose every year to have one of these experiences where for a week and a half, it's a radical change in some place that's uncomfortable for me, but also very interesting and challenging. And yet forces me to unplug from
yeah.
my routine, the media, the people I'm responsible for, forces me to unplug from that. So
the thing that I keep coming back to and each thing that you say is the preparation that that requires yeah. and the leading yeah. up, the planning that that requires.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you didn't go on that trip
right.
spur of the moment.
No, obviously. No, no.
Yeah. There was some planning, yeah. some preparation that yeah. went into that.
Several months.
And I think so often we want to just, yeah. we get to the level of burnout
yeah.
or to a place of burnout and yeah. we're like, okay, now I'm going to do something.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, nope, you need to be planning now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To create space for that down the road sometime yeah. so that you don't get to the place of burnout.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and in our world still, when you talk about burnout, the idea of taking some times in your year and fasting, mm-hmm. taking some times in your year for some retreat of meditation. I know, you know, a lot of the guys you and I hang out with, you know, meditation, what is that? Right. And some of that, but taking some moments of fasting, silence, those old time spiritual disciplines, people who don't engage in them, they're missing out on so much of the sustaining life that comes from these ancient practices.
Yep.
They make all the difference in life, all the difference.
That's really good. Speaking of burnout, I want to play this clip for us.
You know, friends, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is go to sleep. If you need to do that on me right now, go ahead. All right? I plan to take a nap today since I got 2 hours of sleep last night. And sleep is a good thing. And the Bible says God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. Vince Lombardi said, fatigue makes cowards of all of us. And if you don't get your proper rest, I've talked to so many people whose marriages or ministries are falling apart simply first because they didn't have the energy to put into it because they weren't getting enough rest.
Have you ever gotten to a place of burnout or experienced anything like that?
Yeah, I would say I have not experienced a place where I have reached the end and can't go further. I've seen like the warning lights come on.
Yeah.
I've gotten that far where there's, you know, in seasons where I've given a lot physically, mentally, emotionally in the leadership role, or maybe as a dad, there were some difficult seasons, but never really close. I think everybody needs a different level of rest and being honest with yourself. You know, I love what he quoted Vince Lombardi about the fatigue makes kind of cowards of all of us. I think everybody needs to know how much rest do I need to be at my best?
Yeah.
And if you go past that too long, what about you? Have you experienced, gotten to where you felt like you were at burnout?
No, I think I've experienced the symptoms.
Yeah.
And recognize that it's coming. Right. Actually, I'm experiencing them now. Like I'm in a season of ministry right now where I'm like, it's coming unless I make some changes.
Yeah.
And I think so far I've been able to make changes in times to avoid anything catastrophic, but I've experienced those symptoms.
Mm-hmm. What were they for you? What symptoms
would you anger, say? Anger primarily.
Yeah. I see that.
How I talk to my kids.
Yeah.
How I interact with my wife.
Yeah. You get shorter.
Yep.
Yeah.
I also have, and it's usually about illogical things that I become less logical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like normally that problem would not have overwhelmed me as much as it would have.
It would have. Yeah.
But now it just set me off or discouraged me more than it should have.
Yeah.
Yesterday we were working on a project here at the church and I'm just trying to put this little I spent the entire day doing a little project that some woodworker could have done in 10 minutes. And I'm throwing things. I'm getting mad trying to get this project done. And I am like internally on fire over something stupid that I could have hired somebody to do in 10 minutes. It would have been so easy. And I'm losing my mind. Yeah. Grant's over there laughing at me because he watched me losing my mind about it. But it's I get illogical and I think many studies have shown that we become less productive the longer hours we work.
Yeah.
And so often I think, if I can just work two more hours, if I can just work three more hours, I can accomplish more. If I can just keep going when I need to be smart enough to say, you know what, actually, I won't get things done if I keep working three more hours. I'm actually going to hurt myself down the road in accomplishing more because I'm pushing myself too far.
Yeah. I find I love people less. That's a warning sign for me.
Yeah.
I feel less loving toward the people around me. And it's a warning sign. Oh, you're not rested enough.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way it symptom is for me. And I hope God has enough voice in my life to be continuously saying, okay, your love meter's decreasing. Time to take a break. Time to take a break. So, yeah.
The phrase that I've been using with my team a little bit lately is, I really want to focus on quality of effort quality of activity over quantity of activity. Because I can do and bring a ton of things onto my plate, but the things that really need my time are not getting enough quality effort. And so I'm really trying to focus more on quality rather than quantity.
Yeah. You know, rest, we just have to say it if we're going to authentically talk about burnout and rest, but boundaries are such a big part of this whole discussion, right? So the reason we don't rest, the reason we don't trust, we're constantly meeting people's needs.
Yeah.
And that's fine. We're here to serve others.
Yeah.
But there is a number of people we can serve and an amount we can serve, and setting those boundaries, growing to be unselfish while at the same time setting boundaries with getting enough rest so we can continue to be unselfish. That's the thing you just mature into.
Yeah.
And until you figure out that whole boundary and unselfish tension, you'll constantly live life with a lack of rest, because you'll just be running.
The spiritual maturity that is required to figure out the motivation of my rest is this selfish. Am I resting because I'm lazy?
Right.
Or am I resting because I recognize this is a healthy habit for my life?
Yeah. So I can serve people better.
Yes. Right?
That's the healthy way.
Yes. Is it, what is my motivation?
Yeah.
I think is the question that I need to be asking myself
pretty
regularly, because the world uses phrases like love yourself or take me care time. Of
yourself. Give yourself. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And those things sometimes rub me the wrong way, because I feel like the way it's said is, well, you're just trying to elevate yourself above everybody else. But I also recognize there's value in those things, that if you just totally neglect yourself, I work with somebody that just, she would work herself to death. And she tries sometimes and she has to, cause she's a giver and she'll give and give and give and give and give. And I just have to say, you gotta quit giving. Gotta slow down. You're gonna hurt yourself. You're gonna hurt your family. You're gonna hurt your marriage. This isn't okay, because she's so selfless and so generous. So it's not just a selfish thing.
Yeah. Boundaries.
Awesome. I hope that you found in your life a routine that involves a Sabbath principle in your life. And if it hasn't, seek out some advice. Have a conversation with somebody that you trust to look at your life and give you some advice about how you can have a more healthy routine in your life, and make sure that all the way through you're doing it because you trust God, the principles that He's given us, and also that you are becoming the person that God created. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next week for Sage Revenue.